this morning. And I just want to say to you myself, sir, thank you. I'm a weeper. I've told a lot of you that. And it's going to get worse as we get further into the service. When we get to ordain this man, I'm a weep. Go on and cry with me. But, sir, your messages have been true to the Word of God, have been powerful, have been practical, and they've challenged me. And I thank you, Dr. Medeiros.
Dear brothers, I do not take opportunities like that for granted at all. I told you all. And I have just to tell something that I have not told yesterday and this morning. I'd like you all to know that English has been the fourth language I have to get acquainted with. And I say, why are you telling me that now? I say, for a very simple reason, because I feel very comfortable to speak English and to preach in English for y'all, because I know that y'all know English better than I do. And if y'all know English better than I do, that's your problem to figure out what I'm trying to say. And I have experienced a little bit of the love that Stephen has experienced here with the congregation, and I'm really impressed. And I told you yesterday and this morning as well that I have, in my pilgrimage of these 40 years as an ordained minister, you talk with a lot of pastors. And one thing that impresses me, a lot of the pastors would speak bad of the congregation, talking about the problems. But I have a lot of other pastors who, when I meet them, they always talk about their congregation, about God's people, as the best blessing that they have experienced in their lives, the joy of their lives. And when I talk with Steve, Dr. Medeiros, I'm looking forward to come here and to speak to my dear people. I love them, and I talk with some of you, and I have seen how much you have loved Stephen and his family. Therefore, it is a great privilege for me to be here and to preach. And he told me I can preach for 1 hour. No, he didn't say that. But the text I would like to preach and to talk, not only for Stephen, but for all of us here this morning, is a well-known passage. Open your Bibles in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And I'm going to read just the verse 16 to 20. And I would like you to keep in mind this. This is about the resurrection of Christ. This chapter talks, the verse 28, chapter 28, 1 to 10, is about the morning of Jesus' resurrection. And you know the story here of those Roman soldiers. You can talk about whether they were Roman soldiers or not. I believe they were Roman soldiers. And right after that, when Jesus met those women, told them to go and to tell his disciples that he had risen from the dead. The Bible says that some of those guards went straight to Jerusalem and talked with the authorities. That happened in that day. And we know that we have here not only the resurrection of Christ, but before we see Jesus Christ appearing to his disciples later on, you have verse 11 to 15 that I'm not going to speak this morning. If I have a time, I would. Because before we read about the Great Commission of what we call the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, preceding that, you have the Great Commission of the Devil. Verse 15 to 11 to 15. And we know that while the disciples are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected, there were other people speaking and telling that Jesus never rose from the dead. And I know that because Matthew is the only one who researched about that story. And he says this, when he tells that story, he says in verse 15, so they took the money, those people. I call it the Great Commission of the Devil because of the message. The message is, Jesus is dead. The motivation is money. The protection is man. And the message is given by man. And it is a conflicting message. Because if they were sleeping where they stole the body away, how could they see? When you talk with liberals, go for exegesis in the details of it. That's what I do when I talk with liberals. But the Bible says this. Listen to this, verse 15. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, until the day that when Matthew was finished in writing that gospel, inspired gospel. He heard there was another story, and he did a research and discovered where it came from. This is the great commission of the devil here, my friends. But now we come to that last part, verse 16 to 20. I'm going to dwell with you all in these five verses. And let me tell you why, five or six verses. Because you have to understand that 16 to 20 didn't happen at the end of that day. These, the report here is later on. And I know that because John 20:21, you don't need to go there, just for you to understand the context. In John 20:21, this described to you what happened the first day of the resurrection of Christ. When Jesus met the disciples as a group for the first time in that place in Jerusalem. And there was one man missing there. There was Thomas. Thomas was not with them. When Jesus said, peace be with you all. And the Bible says this, that 7 days later, Jesus met with a group of the disciples. You find that order in John. John gives you that order in John 20:21. 7 days later, he met with a group of the disciples again. And this time, Thomas was together. 8 days later, and Jesus addressed Thomas immediately because he didn't believe him. And then John 21 says this. Now, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time now by the Sea of Galilee. And John said this was the third time that Jesus appeared to a group of the disciples. And probably what you have here is probably maybe 2-3 weeks later that we're going to see. Matthew just summarized the end here. That's the context. Let us read God's inspired word. And the Bible says this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. After 2 weeks at least, now we know that, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. About the doubts the Bible tells about some of them, Luke 24, etc. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, or having gone, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you my main thesis for this morning. I'm going to consider five things here. In these 2 hours that I have. No, don't worry. In these 20 minutes that I have. I'm going to say this to you. When Jesus finished to address his disciples during the Lord's Supper, and you have several chapters in the book of John 13 to 16, Jesus finished speaking to them about what's going to happen. Then the Bible says, when Jesus finished, then he prayed to the Father in John 17. Right after that prayer, he went to Gethsemane. In that prayer, Jesus says this. Father, I'm summarized there. Later you can read John 17. He said, Father, I came in this world to glorify you. And I have glorified you by doing your work. And the work was this. I manifest your name. I communicate your word to those that you have given me, and they believed you. Now I pray for them and pray several things. And in John 17:20, he says, now I pray not only for them, but for those who are going to believe through their words. Jesus said, Father, I came to this world to glorify you, and I glorify you by doing your work, which was to manifest your word to those that you have given me, and they believe you. My friends, let me tell you, what does that to do with the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you immediately from the beginning. When you talk about God's glory, God's majesty, the manifestation of God's power and His presence in the Bible gives several pictures. For example, God manifests His glory and His power and His presence and His sovereignty by the works of creation. God manifests His glory by the plagues that you fight, how He liberated His people from Egypt. God manifests His power by so many miracles that you find in the scriptures. But the greatest way by which God manifests His glory was by sending Jesus Christ in this world. And I'm saying that because if you have your Bibles, and I hope you have, if you go to John chapter 1, John puts that way, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as only the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." The greatest, most marvelous, visible, audible way by which God manifests His glory and His majesty and His power in this world was by incarnation, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came and said, "Father, I have glorified You, and I glorified You by manifesting Your word to those that You have given Me, and they believed You." And then you come back here to Matthew 28. And you find the Lord Jesus Christ very clear telling us at the end, when everything is said and done, "Now you go, having gone, you make disciples of all the nations." Let me tell you what is my thesis here. My thesis is this: I believe, based on what I have said to you right now, that the most biblical way to glorify God is by making disciples of all the nations. Across the street and around the world, Jesus Christ said, "I glorified You by doing Your work." And the work was this: not only the work of redemption, everything promised that has been fulfilled in Christ, but He says, "I did Your work by manifest Your name to those that were." I made disciples, I brought them to You, and I pray for them. And my dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you, dear brother Stephen, there is no other way, better way, biblical way to glorify God than to make disciples of all the nations. Jesus said so in John 17. He says, "The Son of Man," in Luke 19, "the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." In Luke 15, on all the parables that Jesus told about the lost sheep and the lost coin, and the lost son, all that parables have the same point. The point that Jesus says, "I rejoice. I am the shepherd who came to seek the lost sheep. And when I found them," because they're lost, they cannot find. Jesus has never been lost. You don't find Jesus. Jesus finds you. And says, then He takes and put on His shoulder, and He told to those Pharisees, and then go there rejoicing, and ask people to rejoice with great joy. That was great joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the great joy in heaven. But having said that, let me just call attention to some points here in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. I'm going just to give you for this consideration this morning, not this morning, this evening, this night, or whatever. I'm going to call attention to five emphases or five principles for all of us, leaders and church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ gave us here in these words of Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Five emphases that I'd like to give and pass to you, Stephen, and to this church, and to all of us here. Five emphases that you cannot miss it. And by the way, and I put all of them under the letter C. And by the way, I don't always preach CCC, ABC, DDD, because sometimes it does not work, my friend. Don't force. I had a friend of mine, every time he preached, was CCC, DDD, ABD. I say, ABC, I said, "Brother, don't go. You're forcing out the third point. This does not fit the C there or the D there." But this, I think, fits very well. And I'm going to give you this five C's here, and I'm going to give you a little explanation. I'm going to finish here. Let me tell you about the five emphases that we're going to find here. First is the emphasis on the commissioner. This great commission does not start with the emphasis on the commission. The first emphasis is on the commander-in-chief, the commissioner. The second, you find that in verse 18. Before he gives the commission, he says, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and earth." He's calling attention to His sovereignty. The first emphasis, before anything else, is on the commissioner. On the commissioner. The second emphasis is on the commission. or the commandment. And the commandment is very simple. The commandment is not go. And I'm going to tell you something within a few minutes. The commandment here is make disciples. That's the commission. It's first emphasis on the commissioner, second emphasis on the commandment or the commission, make disciples. Third emphasis on the comprehensiveness of that commission. You know, the comprehensiveness is this, make disciples of what? Of all the nations. That's why across the street and around the world, your nation is not excused or excluded. All the nations. That's the comprehensiveness. And then immediately Jesus gives the course of action. Have you realized that? That's the strategy. How are you going to make disciples of all the nations? Jesus said three things. That's the course of action. For you to make disciples of all the nations, you have to go. Having gone, that's a past participle. Don't worry with exegesis here. But it indicates an action before the action of the main verb. The main verb is make disciples. That's the only verb in the imperative here. But for you to make disciples, you have to take the initiative to go to these people across the street and around the world. The course of action. How are you going to do it? Go to the people. Now, how are you going to make disciples? By teaching and by baptizing them. I know that the Bible says put baptizing and teaching both concomitantly or simultaneously, whatever it is. But the order is not that way. Jesus not saying you go, baptize people and teach them. No, there was some church that tried to do that in my country in the 16th century. But when you go to the day of Pentecost, you know their order. The order was this. The Holy Spirit will come upon Peter, and Peter stands up and preaches to these people. And those who believe were baptized and congregated. Jesus gave the course of action, the strategy for the church. It's very simple indeed. You go to the people, and you share the good news, you tell them, and those who believe you baptize, and they are congregated. By the way, this is the ABC. You go to John, Acts chapter 2, and the Bible says, Peter preached that day, and 3,000 people, the word is there, accepted, doubtless by the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no other explanation, but they accepted, they were baptized, and they were congregated. The ABC, acceptance, believed, baptized and congregate. Jesus gave the course of action to his disciples. And by the way, because that's the way that Jesus did as well. And finally, you have the fifth emphasis is the comfort that Jesus promised. In other words, the company that will be always with those involved in that work. Having said that, let me just go very quickly with you here. First of all, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. My dear brother Stephen and all the congregation here, one thing that you should never forget when you're talking about this work is who is in charge of it. He said, the first thing he's called attention is through to his sovereignty, to his power, to his exousia. And if you want to know how far does Jesus' authority reach, that's what sometimes people do not think about it. You have your Bibles open. I'm going to just read two or three verses. There's several, but because of time, I cannot do that. Go to Revelation with me very quickly. Go to the book of Revelation. I'm going just to read to you two or three verses. When Jesus says that all authority, all power has been given to me, the question comes, how far does Jesus' authority reach? It's before you know anything. Know your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, listen to this. When Jesus revealed himself through the angel to John, he says this. John 1 5. John to the seven church which are in Asia. Grace to you. That's to the church. And says this. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and what? And the ruler over the kings of the earth. My friend, before you think anything about making disciples, you should know and believe in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. You know what he's telling the disciples before he does anything, before he tells them to go and to make disciples? What he's telling them is this. People of mine, I want to know that every area, every people, every culture, every leader is under my dominion. Be careful with this heresy of territorial spirits and other things that people begin to tell about. No territorial spirits, no fear. We should never underestimate the devil. The Bible says we know his schemes. I think one of the problems in USA many times, I think, talking with my students, we underestimate the devil. I go to my country in the South America, and there we overestimate the devil. The devil is everywhere. People think that he has all the power in the world. But the Bible never depicts Satan head to head with Jesus. Have you realized that? Every picture that we have, the devil and the Lord, the devil is always under his feet. From Genesis on, when Jesus appears, every time when Jesus comes, the devil come down before him. All the demons come down before him. Brothers and sisters, remember, the Bible never tells us to fear the devil, but to resist him. And then therefore, I would like you to keep in mind that Jesus telling us before he does anything, consider his power. I have some other verse. Let me just read to you. Revelation 17, 14. I would like you just to be impressed here with the power of Jesus. And let me tell you the difference it makes in the boldness, not the arrogance. When I talk about boldness of sharing, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, it plays the crucial role here. To know that he has authority over all powers in this world. And you should not be afraid of anything. Knowing that the one who is in you is the one who is going to work in you. And is the one who is going to work in those to whom you minister as well. And he is powerful. Listen to Revelation 17 very quickly. Revelation 17, 14. He's talking here about the beast, etc. And he says this. These will make war with the Lamb. It's talking about the beast and the Babylon and all those powerful spiritual beings, whatever they are. They are going to make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb will overcome them. In other words, there is no power on earth or in the heavens. In my Bible. For several reasons. One, because really I want to study. Second, I want the people around me to see what I'm reading. Because people always look around. And I always pray, Lord, give me an opportunity here. In one of those overnight flights to Brazil, I think this year, I was doing the same thing. Got a flight from Atlanta to São Paulo and I was reading. And one of the flight attendants from Delta was passing by and saw me reading the Bible. And I never know what's going to happen. And she passed by, served everybody, and he was passing by me and said something like this. Not said something, she said to me, please pray for me. Then I told her, please come back to talk with us. And she served everybody, came back to serve with me, to talk with us. And I said, why? I opened my Bible to read. And I do it purposely. I don't look at my iPhone to read the Bible because nobody knows what you're doing with your iPhone anyway. But purposely, I open my Bible for several reasons. One, because really I want to study. Second, I want the people around me to see what I'm reading. Because people always look around. And I always pray, Lord, give me an opportunity here. In one of those overnight flights to Brazil, I think this year, I was doing the same thing. Got a flight from Atlanta to São Paulo and I was reading. And one of the flight attendants from Delta was passing by and saw me reading the Bible. And I never know what's going to happen. And she passed by, served everybody, and he was passing by me and said something like this. Not said something, she said to me, please pray for me. Then I told her, please come back to talk with us. And she served everybody, came back to serve with me, to talk with us. And I said, what should I pray for you? And she said this, I'm having a problem with this flight. I said, uh-oh. My friend, you are 10 kilometers, whatever, there. And they said, we have a problem with this flight. I said, if this flight is going down, I have to do something quickly because I want these people to know and to know whether they're ready to go to heaven or to hell. But I said, is it probably the plane? He said, no, that's not the problem with the plane. I was released a little bit. He said, what's the problem? I said, I'm having a problem with the person responsible for the crew here in this flight. And then I said, I have a verse for you. And I wrote to her, showed in the paper, you know, when Proverbs says that the soft word, how do you say in English? I know in Portuguese. A palavra branda desvia o furor, mas a dura suscita ira. How do you say in English? I think Proverbs 25 says, the soft word. Yes. And she was so glad. But then I said, wait a minute. You are not going to take it as a positive thinker, my friend. Because this is God's word. This is a promise for those who believe in the Lord and His word. Do you know Jesus? Because that's you're going to do. Not because a positive thing is a beautiful thing to say or to do. But this is for those who believe in the Lord and the word of His Lord. Then it was a great opportunity to share the gospel. But my point is that I know that Jesus is everywhere. And I know that He is all the power in this world. But let me just go and finish very quickly. The second thing here, don't forget ever, my dear brother, that the best way, I think the most biblical way to glorify God, to please God, is by making disciples. Jesus gave this commandment, make disciples. That's the work, not just convert, make disciples. And a disciple is someone that will be like Jesus. Jesus says a disciple is someone who will be like his master. In other words, we are going to pray to lead people to know Jesus, to be like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to speak like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to live like Jesus, to invest like Jesus in every area of life. That's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make disciples. And by the way, you don't fulfill that commission by going. I don't care what you are. My question is, are you making disciples? I have liberal friends from this country that were sent to my country. And they began to tell here they were missionaries because they had been gone. I said, but you're not making disciples. What make a missionary is, are you making disciples? That's the command. I don't care what you are or where you are. At the time of Jesus, there were people crossing over the ocean. Listen to this. Don't you love this? Listen, Jesus was, Matthew 23:15, this said to a group of Pharisees and scribes, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. The problem is not where you are and where you're going. Are you making disciples? Because that's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. The comprehensiveness, my friend, all the nations. All the nations. Just keep in mind that. All the nations. Why all the nations? The Bible says in Psalm 89:6 that God created all the nations for His glory. And one day before the throne, Revelation chapter 5 says that people from every tribe, tongue and nation will be before the throne. Those who have been saved, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, have been elected before the foundation of the world, will be thanking and praising the Lamb who saved them by His blood. And the Bible says, why all the nations? Because all the nations has been made according to Psalm 89. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, Psalm 86 verse 9. All the nations were made by God for His glory. And not only that, that all the nations because of that, but all the nations because this is the will of God revealed even before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1, and manifest through all history of redemption. When He called Abraham, Genesis 12 says, in you, in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The Bible said that all have sinned, and Jesus commanded that. Why all the nations? Because of that. Across the street and around the world. And the course of action for all of you, never forget that. For people to come to know Jesus, God is going to use servants with that message in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what you have to do? Take the initiative. It says, having gone. That's a very active commission. It's an action to do. You go to the people. And then what you do? You teach them. Jesus did that. He came to teach, the Bible says. And He started by teaching, by telling them. And then those who believe would be baptized. And by the way, when the Bible talks about baptism, he's not talking about the form of baptism, but Jesus was telling for me two things very clear. One, church planting is involved in that process. But not only that, but the whole Trinity is involved in this work, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And finally, you have to keep in mind the great promise that Jesus gives you. And by the way, all of you here have been called, empowered, and sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples across the street and around the world. I don't have time to tell all these stories here. And even that I heard today here of someone, God is going to do something very interesting here in this congregation for the glory of God, so that people may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, Richard Baxter, and for those of you who are here know his theology, I don't agree with 100% of his theology, but one thing, when I was reading his autobiography and reading his writings, I came across with a passage, an article that he wrote, Richard Baxter, in the 17th century, about why, he says this, why every single member of the body of Christ should profess Christ, or tell people about Christ. And the first reason he said was this, because God gave you a mouth. Is not what the Bible says? We believe in our heart, and with the mouth we profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have a mouth for something. And finally, remember that the great comfort, the great company that he promised, he says this, and lo, I am with you always. And I'd like to call attention for this. He said, I will never leave you all. I am with you always. Always here, let me speak in tongues here a little bit for you. The expression here translated by always is pantatas hemeras. It's just the Greek word for every single day. He's telling us, you're going to count with my powerful presence 24/7. Every single day, I will be with you. In the most difficult days of your lives of persecution, the happiest days of your life, I'll be with you. And Paul took it seriously. And I'm going to finish just telling you two stories, and my 30 minutes is gone. 25 minutes is gone. Two stories. I believe, first of all, Paul took it seriously. These words of the Lord Jesus. My mother-in-law's sister, my wife's aunt, worked with lepers in Thailand in the 70s with the China Inland Mission, later was Overseas Missionary Fellowship. And she had been working with them for many, many years. And in 1974, by the end of 1974, we heard from Overseas Missionary Fellowship, my mother-in-law, by the way, they're Dutch, my mother-in-law received a call from London telling them, my father and my mother-in-law, to pray for Minka, her sister, because they heard she had been kidnapped by Muslims, terrorists in the south of Thailand. And I remember when we began to pray for her, but I'm going to tell you a long story short. We began to pray for her. She had been kidnapped together with another girl from London, Margaret. And we began to pray for both of them. In March 1975, we received another call from Overseas Missionary Fellowship and telling my wife's mother that her sister was killed. They discovered the body of both ladies, young ladies, not young, because she was in her almost 60s. She dedicated her life for this kind of work, to take care of lepers and tell them about Jesus. They were shot, at both of them. A few years later, I was with my mother-in-law in the Netherlands, and she told me and showed me all the notes that her mother received from her daughter while she was kidnapped by the terrorists. And the last note I'm going to read to you, the last note she received from her daughter before hearing that she had been killed. I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to impress you. These are people who believe on the power of Christ and the presence of Christ. Because his comfort is a reality. It's not just a comfort, that's a reality. His presence. She wrote to her mother, and her mother and her mother read it, and now I saw from my mother-in-law the note. The note was just a quote from Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Few of us will ever go through experience like that, like Habakkuk and others. But she didn't stop here. She just kept quoting, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. And God took them in joy in the middle of tremendous persecution and death. This is the promise of Christ, my friend, and has all authority. People can kill you. What's going to happen? God's just going to heaven. God's going to bring somebody else. Don't worry. That's His work. Many times I tell my students, I don't think that the church was given a mission to the church. On the contrary, God created the church for His mission, for His work, which is to reach out to those who are still lost across the street and around the world. And Steve, that will be difficult times for all of us. When I finished seminary, I went to the Amazon jungle to work there. It was a tough time with my wife, sleeping in the hammocks, you name it. And one day I wrote to my father-in-law, a Dutch conservative missionary. I said, Dad, the situation here is difficult. And he sent me a note and said, Son, God never promised us a quiet journey, but a safe arrival. I am with you. Stephen, He will be with you always. Congregation, God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will be with you all, always. Don't forget ever this. And the greatest thing that you can do to please Him, to glorify Him, is really to make disciples of all the nations across the street and around the world, using His strategy and His power and His presence forever and ever. May the Lord bless you. Now let us sing together hymn 45. Footsteps of the Lord Jesus.
We will follow the steps of Jesus.